Welcome to episode 35 of Autograph Weekly. Take another shot, you legend.
You're now tuned into the most entertaining, informative, and downright kick-ass autograph show that has ever existed. Here's Zane Savage and Double S with Autograph Weekly.
I'm David Mickey Evans, the writer, director, and voice of The Sandlot and The Sandlot 2, and you are listening to Autograph Weekly.
Welcome, Autograph Addicts. I'm Zane Savage.
I'm Stacey Schaefer.
I'm Jeremy Daniels.
I'm Ben Martinez.
I'm Matt Maniac.
And you're listening to Autograph Weekly, feeding your brain with knowledge and news every week until the Olympic Games take place in Southern Illinois or Iowa, which will never happen. Let's start off with the news. Stacey, what you got?
All right, my first news story is Disney tells Santa not to sign autographs. And basically what this story is, this happened at Walt Disney World. There was a guest there that looked a lot like Santa Claus and was asked by Disney officials to be less Santa-ish because he was a distraction at the park.
I never knew that Santa signed autographs. I've never seen a kid go up to him and, Santa, can I have your autograph? So this is kind of a weird news story. Go on.
Yeah, this guy's name was Thomas Tolbert. He was visiting Disney while on family vacation, and he said he was wearing Santa-related clothing, but not a full Santa suit while visiting the park. And there was children coming up asking for photos and autographs, and people that worked at the park came up and basically told him to stop signing and taking pictures because he was distracting people.
So, like, what is Santa-related clothing that's not a Santa suit? I want to know exactly what kind of clothes this is. Is it, like, a red shirt and red pants, or does it have, like, maybe... it's like, you know how they had a tuxedo shirt? Is it a tuxedo Santa suit? Or a Santa suit shirt? Like, I don't know what this guy could be wearing that...
Well, because it goes on here. He says that I never had a red suit on. I never had a hat. I didn't have fur boots on, but that doesn't make me Santa.
Somebody in chat says I look like a young...
It's the persona is basically what they were... And I must have been trying what they were getting at. But...
Somebody in chat says I look like a young Santa. I disagree. I'm a sexy Santa. Yeah, it's a weird story. I didn't know Santa signed autographs. I didn't know that was a thing now, that kids ask Santa for autographs. So
no, it was not Tom Tolbert, the basketball player.
all right, Ben, what do you got?
All right, mine's a new story from Mike Trout, who I actually met in person this year. It was at a game, I think it was the Sunday night baseball game, where they said in the eighth inning it was briefly stopped because a fan went on the field and told Trout it was his 18th birthday and asked for an autograph. And security obviously reprimanded the fan after Mike said, "No, I can't right now, I'm busy after the game." Yes. What was interesting about it, though, is that he had his hand in his pocket, which worried Trout the most. I mean, I'd be worried if I was a baseball player and the people had a hand in their pocket, you know?
Yeah, I mean, crazy security these days. It's probably for the best, but it does turn those weird situations into more awkward situations. You can't run on the field. That's an obvious thing. If you run on the field, you're going to spend a night in jail. It's just the way it is. But, well, I mean, with all the crazy, especially lately, the shootings we've had, security's amped everywhere, no matter where it is. I remember after Columbine, the same thing happened, and it's probably for the best, you know. Better to be cautious and be maybe make somebody cause a little bit of discomfort rather than have another massacre, somebody go crazy. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with that. If you guys got anything on it?
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
Nope.
Matt?
What, I don't have... Oh, wait a minute. My story. Okay, cool, yeah. Well, this one I actually stole from Stacy because since I was kind of in the area during this, it was basically about CM Punk being involved in an incident with a fan who was asking for autographs. And the interesting thing is a lot of people are blowing out proportion, like Punk went too far and everything like that. Basically, they're saying... a fan who was described as rude approached CM Punk for an autograph and was turned down. This led to another fan yelling at Punk and created a scene in the airport. Punk then threw the fan's autograph book in the trash. Airport police came, and reportedly CM Punk was very irritated at this point. That's actually not kind of how that went down. The guy is known, and you could find, if you do a search for his name, which is, let me get the correct spelling of the name, is Matt Calicchio, and he's actually from Hoboken, New Jersey. And he was in the St. Louis area for the Raw 1000s episode. And he's known for saying any kind of rude, obnoxious stuff to the wrestlers trying to get them to sign stuff, to the point that most of the divas were in the process about looking and trying to get a restraining order on the kid.
Wow.
And when I say kid, he's like an immature 25, 30-year-old.
Right.
So, and he's not a fan of punks at all, so he basically went out of his way just to say, you know, Punk, you, basically, yada yada, and then started taking the camera and shoving it in Punk's face, flashing it off. And when I mean shoving it in his face, I mean like within a foot or less.
Wow. Yeah, this brings up the whole people in IPing. There's a lot of rude people out there that are ruining it for everybody else. Usually it's the eBay people that act this way, but every once in a while you get your crazies like this guy, and he just takes it way too far, and people get scared, people freak out, people throw other people's autograph books in the trash. What happens when you get crazies like this.
Yeah. And even with the eBayers themselves, I mean, they know the game, they know how to play the game, basically. But they also know, to a point, when to walk away.
Right.
This kid just didn't, he just, and it, I don't even know what kind of a fan he is. I mean, he's also being known for stalking for some councilwoman out in Hoboken, New Jersey. I mean, being paid to stalk, too. So,
wow.
And I just found it out, because I posted on my autograph page a whole story about, you know, professionalism, you know, respect, you know, what to do when you're doing IPing and everything. And then all of a sudden, after I posted that, it's like I did a search for the kid's name, because his Facebook page had been deleted.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I find all this more stuff out and everything, including, like, you know, how he went off on Punk, how he's always had problems with Punk or other people, to the point that they try to avoid him at all costs. And
yeah.
Then he comes into St. Louis and tries to ruin it for everybody else, too.
The sad thing is there's nothing really anybody can do about it. You're going to have your crazies just like in any other situation. Some people just don't follow the rules, and that's the way it is. So,
One of those things is, you know, you go to somebody else's town, you piss anybody off there, pretty much you're not going to enjoy that town ever again.
Right. Anybody got anything else to add?
No, I just think, you know, that's why people stop signing. It's not just wrestlers, it's celebrities too, musicians, whatever. Just because they get hounded by these crazies, and it's just like, man, you know.
Did you say magicians?
Well, whatever. I mean, in person, people, whatever.
Oh, musicians. I thought you said magicians.
No.
I didn't know magicians were getting hounded by autograph collectors.
If they were a magician, they would disappear.
Yeah, you know, because that's the stuff the celebrities remember. You're right. They don't remember all the good experiences they've had. They remember that one asshole who was yelling at them the whole time, yelling slurs, asking for an autograph. That's the one thing they will remember. So
that's why they don't remember Ben Martinez.
No, they never remember Ben, ever.
No, they just float away.
They felt sorry for him and signed for him just to get him out of their way.
I believe in that.
My news story is pretty interesting because it is a music legend, and it's Roger Waters. He takes a stand against...
Did you say legend?
He's a legend.
Okay. Legend.
They have a drinking game in chat. Every time I say legend, take a shot. So Roger Waters is taking a stand against the autograph business. This is sadly becoming more common. On Wednesday, Roger Waters takes a stand against the autograph business, and it was a top story. Here's the recap. Rock legend Roger Waters was the best-selling live act in 2012 so far, and he's finally stopped signing autographs. According to the Daily Express, the Pink Floyd legend is upset about the commercialization of the autograph business. Waters told the Daily Telegraph, "I don't sign any guitars or scratch plates or anything like that anymore. There's a little sort of industry that's about eBay. It's about getting a little bit of you that they can sell to somebody who cares. And I find that ugly." So we're seeing this a lot more. People looking at eBay as people profiting off of something that they're doing, and they feel like they want a part of it. I wouldn't be surprised if Roger Waters sets up his own store or if he probably already has one on his website or something where you can buy an autograph and just skip the signing autographs beyond that. A lot of people do that now. But this is just one of the downfalls of eBay, you know? I mean, it's created one of the probably biggest names in music to stop signing. And we've seen this time and time again, so another one bites the dust.
eBay is the devil.
But eBay also creates a field where we can get people we wouldn't be able to get without eBay. Just think of how hard it would be to get to certain autographs. How hard it would be to get certain autographs we didn't have eBay. It's a double-edged sword. And we've talked about eBay a lot on the show. But this is one of the downfalls of it. Another one bites the dust. So,
And he ain't going to be the first. He ain't going to be the last either.
No, definitely.
That's the sad thing. But.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, most people that are trying to get autographs is either one or the other. You know, you got the sellers and you got the collectors. So why not just personalize everything you sell or you sign? I mean,
but they don't see it like that, you know. And you know, you could take off personalizations, and they know that too.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not going to stop people from, you know, doing that. So, yeah, it's not good, but. Again, there's nothing we can do about it. Just got to kind of sit here and take in the news stories. So, all right. Mm. Also, by the way, the keyword is brick. The keyword is brick. All right, Jeremy, how about it?
All right, I got a good news story here. It's about an elderly couple that's retired. Their names are Mike and Vita. I think that's how you pronounce it, V-E-D-A, Vita. And Vita and Mike do, you know, IPs and TTMs. Well, they've been doing this for, I forget how many, it doesn't say how many years, but they have amassed a big collection of autographs. They have two rooms in their house full of autographs. They got over 700 autograph books, which they're catching up to using. they had some of their autographs include Elvis, Muhammad Ali. They have five presidents. The cool thing is there's a video on this article, which I strongly suggest check it out. Just some of the stuff that they have is just crazy. And Vita basically got into this. I think her first autograph was a football signed by Dan Marino and Jerry Rice, which she grabbed them on the way before Hurricane Opal, which I don't know when that was. Had to be a while back, but that's basically what got them started in this, and it's pretty cool. Just that their love for the hobby and you know what it's amassed to. It's pretty cool. And it's not just for you know the younger crowd. It's for also the older people too.
We'll take that link and post it on our website for everybody to see, because we like to share those big collections with everybody. I know we had another guy who had a lot of autographs. I forget how many he had. We've done the guy who collects signed baseballs, and the older gentleman who had like JFK and a bunch of other old autographs.
And they go to say that 90% of their autographs are in persons. Like I said, the other 10 would be TTMs, which Vita actually writes. So, which is pretty cool. Like I said, the collection they have is just amazing.
So that's pretty impressive for IPing. That's a lot of autographs. So. A lot of money spent going to places.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, some of the big names they got. I mean, like I said, they've been doing it for years. Yeah. So, but they're retired. You know, they could travel and you know they have the time to actually go to those in person to meet people.
I've always said that autograph collecting is a great hobby for a family. You know, it's something you can do together and get excited about together every day. You could be having a crappy day and come home and have a great TTM in the mail and share that with your family. I think it's a great hobby to share with your spouse or your son. So if you do have a family, I suggest bringing them in on the hobby, even if they say they don't like it from afar. Once they get into it, I think it gets people hooked. So
I just want to note that one thing, that one of their most sought after autographs they're still trying to get, that what's not an article, it's in the video, so you gotta watch the video, is Neil Armstrong. I guess they've met him and he just doesn't sign autographs, so they're still trying to get Neil Armstrong.
Yeah, good luck with that one. All right, let's move on to the web deal of the week. Stacy, what you got?
All right, this week's web deal of the week is a must for anybody that's a fan of the show The Deadliest Catch. This is a Time Bandit piece. If you guys go to www.timebandit.tv, they actually have a store on there. And for you guys that aren't familiar, Time Bandit is the name of one of the vessels, the ships that's on the show. Go to, they have a TB store link on there. Just click on that. And there is a book section on there, and they actually have a book called The Time Bandit that is actually signed by both Cadmus, Jonathan, and Andy Hillstrand, and it for $21.
Now, is one of those the ones that passed away?
No.
Okay, so, okay. It doesn't have his autograph on there.
No, this is just, that was on another boat. But
oh, okay. I don't watch the show, but I know one of those guys passed away, that's why I ask. So that's a good deal, guys. Go check it out. Let's move on to the Mojo Mailbox. And my mailbox has been kind of barren the past few weeks, and the trend continues. Got in John Engler for the My America Project. That was a nice one. I think he was the governor of Colorado? No, not Colorado. He was the governor of a state.
that would be Michigan, Zane.
Michigan. Yes, Michigan, that's it. Also got in Catherine Mary Stewart. That one took over a year via her website. Sent me a signed 8x10. She was in probably most notably Weekend at Bernie's. Also got in Jason Alexander again. Got him dual signed on a photo with Estelle Harris. And also an 8x10, a Seinfeld 8x10. I'm going to send it around to as many people as possible. It's going to be tough because not many people in Seinfeld sign. And the last one, I only got four this week, is a big one, though. Lee Merriweather, who played Catwoman back in the 60s. Really, really nice to get that one back. A lot of people say she is the best Catwoman out of all the Catwomen. So, really happy to get that one back. Stacey, what'd you get?
All right. I had a pretty decent week. Not anywhere as good as what you're going to hear from a couple of other people coming up. Ben and Matt had some awesome IP stuff the last week, couple weeks, so... what I got, number five, is Billy Hardwick. This was a Ride of Star success. He is a former PBA bowler. He's actually Chris Hardwick's dad, if you guys know who Chris Hardwick is. He's the Nerdist.
Wait, what would PBA be? Would that be an eBay where they just sell urine? Is that what a PBA would be? Stacey? Am I right?
Wonk, 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 okay. Wonk, wonk, wonk.
Keep going, Stacey.
Whatever you say. Number four was Sarah Jean Underwood. Got her on an 8x10. Was real happy with that. Number three was Howard Shore. He is a film composer that did the work for the Lord of the Rings movies, so I was very happy to get that in. Number two was an item I got from Ben, Alfonso Ribeiro, who played Carlton in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, so I was very happy with that. And number one was I finally got my Andrew Card in, signed my 8x10. He was the cabinet member that told President Bush that the second tower had been hit while George Bush was at the school. So
quickly,
pretty solid week again for me. So
I want to jump in here real quick. I forgot to mention Ben did send me a Joe Carter signed card for my Topps Fan Favorite set. I forgot to put that down on my list. So that does make five for me. Thank you, Ben, for sending that. That was awesome.
All right, no problem. I guess I'll just jump in with mine then. I got, like I said, I've been gone for 2 weeks. I went on an IP trip, and here's my top seven, I guess, but I got many more Hall of Famers and up-and-coming basketball players at NBA Summer League. But here's my top seven. These are from USA Basketball, Kevin Love, Anthony Davis, Blake Griffin, Kevin Durant. Those are those members. And then my three biggest ones from the golf tournament I went to were Aaron Rodgers, a.k.a. Mr. Discount Double Check, John Elway, who was hungover, and Jerry Rice, who was very nice in person, a.k.a. the greatest of all times.
Yeah. So maybe Elway has to be drunk to actually sign.
Yeah, for real.
No, he was cool.
He's impossible, TTM. Yeah, guys, if you want to see all the photos and stuff, go to Ben's website. What's that website, Ben?
BMartsAutographs.weebly.com.
Yeah, he met a lot of really cool people and some really cool pictures on there, so go check that out. All right, Matt.
Well, I actually had an interesting because of, you know, despite Matt Colicchio kind of trying to ruin it for everybody else, I actually did end up getting quite a few decent in-persons. And as follows, first off was somebody I'm surprised how good he is in person, no matter how you meet him, whether it's at conventions or whatnot. despite him being one of the main ones that started the revolution of the wrestling business, Roddy Piper. He was signing for everything you would put in front of him, and I got a few 8x10s done, a magazine, and my Hall of Fame program book that had already had others in it. I got that signed by Roddy Piper there. He was just so great taking pictures and everything with everybody. Next one was Trish Stratus. Was able to get 4 trading cards, an 8x10, 2 index cards signed, and she was great. Just go ahead.
So did you get some satisfaction?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't get no satisfaction. My fiance was there with me, so... Next one was, and I was surprised because I've seen Sean not sign quite a few times before and everything, but even with 50 people surrounding him like a mob almost, Sean got through everybody in that line, took photos, signed photos and everything like that. I got a magazine, a 2 8x10 signed by Shawn Michaels. The biggest one was just the piece itself. I have a photo of the Radicals when they in the WWE ring when they did the jump from WCW to WWE that was already signed by Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero. Actually, Benoit I got in person a month before the infamous incident that he was a part of. And so I got Mick Foley on that, which was a really good on that. Now all I need is Perry Saturn and Dean Malenko on it, which are two of the harder ones to try to get on anything to begin with, too.
Malenko actually signs TTN. Now, I saw a couple people get him in, but with that item, I don't know if I would risk it. I would almost rather send it to somebody to get him IP instead of sending TTN, because that's risky. Yeah.
And actually, Saturn was up. He did a show the Friday of the Iowa Hall of Fame, but he did not stick around for Saturday, so nothing was able to be gotten in.
Dang.
And didn't see Malenko at all the weekend because he's an agent with the WWE, and didn't see nothing happen with that at all. I would love to have completed it all within this weekend, but I knew that wasn't going to happen. Yeah. The interesting story with Foley was just as we were leaving somewhere and we're just waiting for our ride, all of a sudden we see Foley coming in. It's like, oh, shoot. We start grabbing for our stuff to go get him real quick. So, and then the last one was Slick. He was one of the surprise appearances for the Raw 1000. And ran into him, and I was actually able to add him onto my WWE manager, greatest managers wrestling DVD insert that already had Jimmy Hart on. So
cool, very cool. All right, Jeremy.
All right, another slow week in the TTM department, but I did get some awesome stuff in. I did get John Bernthal. Played Shane in The Walking Dead. Unfortunately, he got killed off last season.
His character
also. What's that?
His character got killed off.
Actually, his character got killed twice.
Yeah, technically, yeah.
This is coming from Ben Martinez. We did a little trade, and he sent me a Kevin Durant signed card, which he got in person, which is awesome. Thank you, Ben.
No problem.
Also, I got Jimmy Smits. He played in Star Wars Episode 2 and 3. He was Senator Bail Organa, so anything Star Wars is awesome. Also, I got Herschel Walker and Helio Castroneves,
nice.
Which is an IndyCar racer. And I just got to add one more thing. I did get one package in yesterday. I did get some Autograph World signed stuff. I did get Chris Rock, William H. Macy, Matthew Perry, just to name a few, John Cusack, David Arquette, Elgin Baylor. Just kind of rounded out there, but so
that's more than 5. How dare you?
Well, whatever. Shut up.
Let's move on. 7.
Yeah, that's true. You had 7. That's because you weren't on the show for 2 weeks and you had a lot of IPs to go over. Let's move on to Project Geek a Week, and I got Nada. Even though I've sent out a ton of Geek a Week, Nada. Stacy, what'd you get?
I got in one more, so I continue to close the gap on
you.
Mr. Savage. I got in Jessica Chobot, and she is part of the Legends of Video Game new edition that Len made to the set. She does work at IGN and does some work at G4. She was on that that show that they were filming right when Ryan Dunn died, so I'm not sure exactly what her role with G4 is anymore, but...
And the score is now 37 me, Stacy, 35. So he's only two away from closing the gap. And I guess I got to send out another batch, man. I've sent out as many as I could. I probably sent out 15 and got one back from that. So, yeah, go figure. We'll figure
out. Have you
out
gotten the video game ones yet?
Yes, I've sent out the video game ones and still have got only Plume back. And I don't think he was in the video game one. He was a different one. So,
but you got Steptoe.
Yeah, I got Steptoe too. So that's two. You're right. I got two. So, yeah. Also, guys, we're still looking for a project. We're probably going to come up with that this week and have a project set for next week. We're going to make that a goal, and that way we can start something new, and we'll clear Project BoobTube off the webpage, and we'll start you a new project for you guys to follow. Hopefully, it'll be a good one. Cross your fingers. Again, we're still looking for suggestions, so if you guys have any suggestions, go to Facebook and put those suggestions down on our wall. This episode of Autograph Weekly is brought to you by Rackers.com. If you are an autograph collector, go to Rackers.com because they have the best custom cards available. Custom cards are the ultimate alternative for index cards. Yeah, you could get that index card signed and mat it with something, but why not get an awesome Rackers card that has a picture of a baseball, basketball, a wrestling ring? These things are made for autograph collectors. They're matte finish, they're beautiful cards. Go check them out. It's Rackers.com. Use the promo code Autograph Weekly and you'll actually get a free sample pack with your purchase. That's Autograph Weekly as the promo code. Go check them out. Rackers.com. All right, time for the fantasy update, and still kind of hanging in there. What's going on, Jeremy?
Well, you did get the scores mixed up on the sheet here, so.
I did, didn't I? Sorry anyway, about that.
Yes, you did. I just noticed.
What? No, what? No, I think it's right.
You guys ain't in the lead yet, but you're catching up. Anyways, our lead is dwindling by the week. Basically, the score now is the Mail Day Mafia with 698 points and the Uncancelled Bastard with 648 points. So we are up by 50 points, and I'll give you the week breakdown here. The weekly breakdown, Uncancelled Bastard had 71 points for the week, while the Mail Day Mafia had 62.
Come on.
Like, we're dwindling.
Let's go, Uncancelled Bastards, man. We're coming back, guys. We got, like, what, a month left in this competition? You can easily make up the 50-point ground. No problem. Keep doing what you're doing. You guys are working hard, especially Kelvin. Kelvin's getting a ton of stuff. He was our secret weapon, and he's coming through. So keep doing what you're doing, guys. Get in those TTMs. Make those videos. That's very important. Make those videos. And this will be a close race to the end. I can see it being very, very close. So, hopefully, we pull ahead. I'm thinking we will. And I'm probably motivating the Mail Day Mafia a little bit more here than I am the Uncancelled Bastards, but I think it's looking good for us.
Well, I mean, you guys are catching up. I know we have some people that are, just for personal reasons, not doing much. So, I mean, I think you will be gaining ground on us. Is it going to be enough? Maybe, maybe not. We just got to hope our big two guys on our team keep getting those TTMs in for the next month. So
lineup changes.
Gonna be tough.
You guys got anything?
I think we're probably going to stay with what we got.
I think we're going to stay with what we got, too. I mean, it's working, obviously. So, all right, let's move on to the TTM and graph of the week. Last show, we had Lou Diamond Phillips return, TTM return, from Clohans 1973. And he went up against Gene Wilder from Kelvin ML. And the winner was Gene Wilder from Kelvin ML. It was 63% to 38%. So pretty big gap there. Congratulations, Kelvin. You'll be moving on to the Graph of the Month competition. This show, we have TTM Central with the John Bernthal return. Is that how you say it? John Bernthal?
Bernthal
return. Up against John Vinoy and a John Glenn TTM return. I know John Glenn signs decently well. He takes a little bit of time. But he is, like, one of the biggest names in space exploration. So I had to put him on there. So
legend.
He is a legend! Take those shots, chat room. TTM Central again with the John Bernthal up against John Vinoy with the John Glenn TTM return. What we got for graph?
All right, the Graph of the Week battle for this past week was between Russell Lee, who got a Walking Dead photo signed by 12 people at Comic-Con, against Dude Man 22598. Had a Susan Sarandon signed book he got for $6. And the winner was Russell Lee with the Walking Dead photo that he got signed by 12 people. He actually won 80% to 20%, so solid win for Russell. Moving on to this week. This actually should be a pretty interesting battle, I think. Ryan Michael Moberly with an IP from the minor league sensation Billy Hamilton, who is just, I don't know what his stolen base total is up to. It's, I like, right around the All-Star break, he had 102, 103 stolen bases in this season already, which is just insane. Going up against Kyle Val, who got a Vince McMahon in person from the Monday Night Raw 1,000th episode. So there was a real cool story behind that. So if you guys know Kyle or anything, ask him about that. So,
and if you want to vote for Graph or TTM of the Week, just go to our website, autographweekly.com. The poll is right there, smack dab on the homepage. Very easy to do. This week on the show, we have Kay Panabaker. You may recognize her from her work on CSI, Fame, No Ordinary Family. Welcome, Kay. It's great to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me.
First, we're going to hit up some questions about your career, some stuff you've been in, and at the end, we'll hit up the autograph questions since this is an autograph podcast. Stacey, hit her with the first question.
All right, Kay, at what age did you know that you wanted to pursue an acting career, and what was it like having a sister who was in the business as well?
We kind of fell into it at the same time. We started with modeling and commercials and community theater when we were living in Georgia. And it was never anything that I was like, I need to do this. But I really enjoyed doing it, and it just kind of escalated from there. We moved to Chicago, and we did a little bit more stuff. And then we came out to L.A. for a week in December to see if this was something we could do. My mom was terrified of driving in L.A. and I ended up booking a movie with Kiefer Sutherland and Anthony LaPaglia. And it's kind of all history since then. And it's been really nice having my sister in it with me because she may go through something before I do and I can talk to her about it, or right, vice versa. And it's been really nice to have that support system.
Did she start before you, or did you start about the same time?
It was about the same time. And actually, she quit for about, like, 6 months. My mom and I came out to L.A., and we were still living in Chicago at the time. And my sister had just started her first year of high school. And she was like, this is what I want. She was in all of her honors classes. She was playing the French horn. And then she came out to visit us and ended up staying for a few extra months. So.
Now, this kind of lines up with that question, but one of your first jobs I saw on IMDb is Monsters, Inc., and I don't know how big, probably had a voice role, obviously. What was that experience like just getting started in the business? Like, I'm sure breaking through is one of the toughest things to do in Hollywood.
It's so funny. I get asked more about Monsters, Inc. than I think anything else.
And
it's a very small role. They have to do screams and whatnot. And then at the very beginning of the movie, Mike and Sully are walking by, and they pass by a group of kid monsters who are playing jump rope with one of the monsters' tongues. And they sing a little nursery rhyme, and I don't remember what it is now, but that was one of the things that I did, too.
Well, the reason I was asking, I figured it was probably a smaller role, but that was your first role it showed. So I didn't know, if was that key in breaking you into the business, or was that just kind of one of those things on the side? Or
no, it was one of the things on the side. It took about 3 years to get to know the casting directors and get comfortable with myself. I think the first couple of things that really got me going was I did the pilot for Phil of the Future, and that really helped with my Disney career. And then I also did the pilot for what ended up becoming Summerland. And so both of those kind of put me on that track, which I loved both. And I was really fortunate to be able to do both because I wasn't under contract to do Phil of the Future.
Right.
So Summerland came along. I was able to do that.
Cool. Jeremy?
All right, Kay. Your role on CSI was a recurring role. You were on a handful of episodes over the 5 years you worked on the show. How did that role come about, and what was that like for you?
I love that. I had auditioned for CSI a whole bunch of times because they constantly have, you know, one episode where they need a kid and whatever. Right. And it never quite fit. And then I got a phone call, I think one summer, and they were like, you know what? They've decided to age up the girl who plays Marg's daughter, and they just want to offer it to you. And I was like, sure, why not? And it was one of the first episode I did was one of my favorites. And then it's actually really funny because then Marg went off to play my sister's mom in another movie.
That's very cool.
Yeah,
Stacy.
All right, I was a huge fan of the No Ordinary Family. I was just kind of curious, how did you land that role, and what was that experience like being on that show and shooting that show?
Oh, thank you. My sister had done Sky High back in 2005, I think. Wow, that was a long time ago. And it was superheroes, and I've always loved superheroes. I've always said I wanted to be able to read minds. And I had done a couple episodes on the show Brothers and Sisters, which is created by Greg Berlanti, who created No Ordinary Family. And they had this pilot, and I went in and auditioned, and Michael Chiklis was already involved, and I think Julie Benz might have already been involved, and the script was just really fun, and I got to read people's minds. So I was like, sign me up. I signed on the dotted line. The only thing about being able to read people's minds is there's no stunt work involved. I was kind of bummed about that, but I loved working on it, and I was bummed that it only lasted for one season.
Now, just a fun fact for our internet nerds out there, a lot of people know who Shay Carl is. He actually appeared in one of the episodes on No Ordinary Family. I don't know if you got to meet him or not. He's a bigger guy with a beard.
I did. I was the only series regular that got to work with him, and he was so funny and so nice. We had to be at work at – it was one of our earliest days ever. We had to be in downtown L.A. at like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Wow.
And he was there, and he was all excited. Yeah. And he was making videos. I love him. He was so sweet.
He actually lost about 150 pounds since then.
You're kidding.
No, he looks totally different. It's quite amazing. He has a channel dedicated to losing weight now, along with his normal stuff. But yeah, I just thought that was cool how he was on there. I didn't know if you would recognize him or not, so that's really cool that you did. Jeremy?
All right, Kay. You've worked with a lot of people in your career so far. Have you ever been starstruck?
I have been. This is going to sound really dorky.
No, go ahead.
I grew up listening to Garth Brooks. And I got to meet him once, and I literally made a bumbling buffoon out of myself. I just couldn't hold a decent conversation. I was just sitting there going, I grew up with you.
Yeah.
How are you and I sitting in the same room?
Yeah.
And there have been things along the line. I babysat for Judd Apatow and Leslie Mann's kids one time, and just being in their house, in their awesomeness, I was like, this doesn't happen every day. I should enjoy it. And they've got the cutest picture. They've got a whole wall of family photos, and they've got the cutest picture. It's like a Polaroid that they've taken with their first pregnancy stick, and it's literally my favorite family photo I've ever seen.
That's awesome. Now, you were on an episode of 2 and a Half Men, so we gotta ask, what was it like working with Charlie Sheen?
Oh, sorry, you cut out at the end of that.
Oh, okay. Well, you were in an episode of 2 and a Half Men, so we have to ask, what was it like working with Charlie Sheen?
My very first impression of him was he had the strongest handshake of anybody I've ever met. Like, literally bone-crushing. But he was really nice. He always showed up to work on time. And, of course, that I have to say, sitcoms can be some of the cushiest jobs ever.
Yeah.
Monday through Wednesday, it's like half days. You get in at like 9 or 10, and you're done by like 3 or 4.
Nice.
Yeah. But he was really nice and really professional, and he knew all the signs, so I have nothing bad to say about him.
We were hoping for a crazy story. Come on, disappoint us. Now we got some questions coming from Facebook and Twitter. AJ Kaiser asks, when you sign something for someone, what movie or TV show does it usually correspond with?
That's really interesting, actually. A lot of them have been red carpet photos. But there have been some from, I guess it kind of goes with whatever
you're doing at the time.
It's doing it at the time, exactly. I think the most recent, obviously, has been No Ordinary Family, but Summerland was big for a long time.
Right.
And it's weird, too, because some people have pictures that I've never seen before, and I'm kind of jealous that they get. I don't know where they get these pictures.
Well, but usually the way we do it, we usually go onto Google and only go for the high res stuff. So it's like over 1,000 pixels, I think, and that's usually the ones that people pick. But
I like even then, they still have pictures that I've never seen on Google or never seen on anywhere.
They're not from like behind a bush, are they?
No, they're not creepy photos. They're not bad photos. I'm just like, how do you get them?
Yeah. Well, the internet's a big place, so you never know. Yeah, no, actually, you may just, whenever you write back to them, ask, and they probably will write back and tell you. Because I've had people do that to me before, so if you find one of those photos, just say, hey, you mind telling me where you got this? Now, Trey Jones asks, did you have any interest in comics or superheroes before working on No Ordinary Family? Or did the show give you any interest in those things?
I was never a huge comic book fan, but it did give me an interest. I've never, even then, I still don't read them as much. I love to read, but I like reading nonfiction books right now. I'm sure at one point I'm going to go through a comic book phase. It's going to happen. It's only a matter of time.
I'm with you. I'm addicted to nonfiction too. Like, I can't get enough of it. That's all I read, basically. So
I've been reading a lot of dark stuff right now. I'm kind of embarrassed to admit it.
Well, we're going to switch up to the autograph questions here, Stacy.
When was the first time you got asked for an autograph, and do you recall the situation?
I absolutely do, actually. We were doing the first press junket for Summerland, the TCAs, and they had gotten a car, and I was in this dorky little shirt and skirt, and I was really excited, and because we had some famous people. We had Jesse McCartney, we had Lori Loughlin, and we've got people that are now more famous than anybody.
Right.
And I didn't think anybody would know who I was, didn't think they would care. And I literally step out of the car, and I'm got no makeup on. I'm just trying to go figure out where I'm going. And they're like, hey, we want your picture. We want your autograph. And I was like, I'm flattered. But it's kind of weird at the same. It's a little disconcerting when you don't know these people and they know you.
Right.
But they were lovely. Everybody's always been so lovely.
How old were you when that happened? Like,
I was 13.
So had you practiced your autograph at all, or did you just kind of go with the flow?
No. It's funny because I hate writing. I have always hated it. I actually changed my name from Stephanie to Kay when I was 9. Not because I was acting, but because at school I hated writing Stephanie on all my school papers. Those extra letters killed me. So my middle name's Kay, and I switched it to Kay. But now, like, whenever I have to sign business papers, my name is still legally Stephanie, and I can't sign it for the life of me. I can sign Kay, no problem, but signing Stephanie, it always ends up, I miss the E at the end, and I dot, like, over by the P.
It's like, you're not the real Stephanie, because you did not spell your name right. I'm sorry.
It's true. I'm terrified of the day where people are going to question if I am actually myself, because I can't find Stephanie.
Now, how many autograph requests do you get on a monthly basis, either through the mail or items you sell, or how many?
I used to do fan mail. When I lived at home, my mom really helped me out with that.
Right.
She knew how much time people put into writing these sweet letters, and she worked really hard to help me answer everything. And since then, I've been bad about it, so I don't have any place where you can send in or buy them or anything. But when I was living at home, we'd get a few hundred a month, maybe.
Wow.
No, I'm exaggerating. Maybe like 50 to 100 a month.
Wow, that's still quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, and I think part of it is when you respond, more people are going to write in. And I was more than happy to do it. And if you see me on the street and people ask for pictures and autographs, I'm more than willing to do that for them.
Well, I'm sure when you're on this show, your agency's going to get flooded with stuff. So if they call you, you'll be like, hey, they're sending you a ton of fan mail. It's probably because of our show. Just a heads up. Jeremy?
Here's a box of mail for you.
Yeah.
All right, Kay, do you have any autographed items yourself? If so, what is it and who?
I do have a couple, but they're all from the shows. My mom had this really sweet idea when we did Dead Heat, which was the movie with Kiefer Sutherland and Anthony LaFaglia, we got a pillowcase. I had a small little pillow and then a pillowcase, and I got all of the cast and crew that I worked with to sign the pillowcase. And then I got, you know, Anthony and Kiefer and Radha just to sign the pillow. And so I've kept those.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's probably one of my favorites, I think.
I actually have a pillowcase signed by Kevin Sorbo, who played Hercules, and it says Hercules slept here.
That's priceless.
Yeah, absolutely. Stacey?
All right, this is kind of a follow-up similar question as well. Do you ever keep any items from the projects you work on, such as a keepsake or a collectible as a reminder of the time you spent on the project?
Maybe a prop?
I try to keep some things. As I've gotten older, I've realized that I don't like to keep as many things because they've just been cluttering up my apartment,
right. And
I simply don't have the space. But I've actually kept, like from Summerland, I kept the dresser from my bedroom, and I use it, and I've got... It's actually got this cool little, the tabletop has a glass thing that you can take off, and then you put keepsakes underneath. And so I've got a few pictures from Summerland underneath.
Nice.
I can't remember what else I have. I know I've got other things. I just can't think of them off the top of my head.
All right. Jeremy?
Okay. All right, Kay. What's the weirdest item you have signed for a fan?
Ooh.
Body parts count, too.
Is the eyes that they want me to sign my name? They want me to like draw a little picture, and I'm like, I'm not, and I hate drawing. I'm not good at it, but I end up drawing like a little heart or something. Usually on like their arm. And what's weird is when one person does it, and they all do it. And I'm like, it's gonna wash off.
Yeah, unless
I'm not trying to get not to go and get it tattooed on you, or at least I hope not.
Well, actually, there are some people. There's a guy that is covered from head to toe in autographs, and he's tattooed himself because he goes and gets the signatures done. You know, and then
see,
they tattoo right over him.
Because he's made a whole thing of it. And if it was Johnny Depp, then I'm all for it. But not I'm not that cool yet.
Now, what are your feelings on your autograph being sold on eBay or by anyone other than yourself? Does it flatter you? Do you think it's kind of skeezy?
You know, I'm borderline on it. I would be much more of an advocate if people donated it to charity.
Right.
Because I love charities, and whenever I make any sort of like extra money, it immediately goes to charities. But oftentimes people use it to support, they use it to continue their love of autographs or their love of something else, and that I'm all for.
Right.
I just don't want, you just never know. Some people do it for just the money, and that's kind of weird to me,
right.
But if you do it to support other things, then I'm more than happy about
that's
that.
A perfect answer. It's great.
What's weird to me is that when people want you to sign, I don't like signing the index cards.
Right.
Because I know a lot of people then can copy it or whatever. And
right, and that's actually a trend. A lot of people aren't signing index cards anymore. And the reason, actually, we send out index cards every once in a while as autograph collectors, and the reason we do it is for matte pieces. So if we don't have a photo of somebody, we can put a matte piece together with the autograph under the photo. So
yeah.
It kind of makes it a picture, but that's the only reason we send them out. And yeah, we've noticed hardly anybody signing index cards nowadays, so it's one of those dying things.
Just because so many people use it incorrectly.
Right, right.
Because I'm all for, if you're with me, and like if you ask for my autograph and you want me to sign a whole bunch of photos, I have no problem with that, but just don't, because then it doesn't feel like an authentic autograph to me.
Right.
If you're just copying it.
All right, Stacey.
All right, what are your overall feelings on fan mail, and do you mind when people send you multiple requests?
Kind of covered this, but...
No, it's a different question. Some people want... Well, and of course, I get a lot of autographs from kids because of the Disney Channel stuff,
mm-hmm.
And sometimes they just want a correspondence, and that, I worked with my mom when I would write letters, and some of them we would keep going with.
Right.
But my mom was really clever. She kept a whole filing system, and some people, it was young girls. I was surprised that they had this, you know, creativity, but they would pretend to be somebody else, and they'd say, it would be the same address, but they would pretend to be a different name and be like, oh, can I get, which always weird, it was like, well, are you giving it to yourself, or are you asking for a friend? But they, that was weird to me.
Right.
But no, I don't mind different requests, as long as there are new pictures that you like. A lot of people will be like, hey, you like, here's a new picture that I just found, can you sign it? And it's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, we run into that a lot in the hobby. That's why we ask. We'll find, we'll have an item that would be, oh, this would be perfect if it was signed by so-and-so, but we just sent to so-and-so 2 weeks ago, so what do? So that's why we ask that question, to kind of get
No, that's fine. It's only because we used to supply my own pictures, and I guess I can still do that. I've got them somewhere.
Yeah.
And that would, like, if you've already got the one picture, do you really need a second one of the exact same picture? But if it's a new picture, I'm all for it.
Right. Cool. Now, how do you feel about collectors looking for a personal address to write to you? This happens a lot with bigger stars. They can't answer all the fan mail, obviously. So the only way to get them, like, let's say I live in the Midwest, so obviously there are no celebrities around me whatsoever. So the only way I can get an autograph is to write through the mail. So some people search for private addresses just to send mail, not call or anything like that, just to send a fan letter. Do you find that flattering or a major invasion of privacy?
That's a border that I don't like to cross. Because I have gotten a couple pieces, but to my home address, and it's made me, like, move and change that or get mail sent somewhere else.
Right.
Because it's where I live.
Right.
And that's a huge uncomfortable. I don't want people showing up on my doorstep. People have tried to send gifts, and while that's lovely and everything, like, I don't please spend your money somewhere else. I don't need gifts. They're lovely, and I appreciate the gesture so much, but please don't go to the home addresses.
Jeremy?
Yep. All right, Kay. What are you up to now, and do you have anything to plug?
Sure. I actually, just last night, was at a screening for an independent movie I did a couple years ago called Little Birds. It was in Sundance, not this past January, but the year before. And that's coming out end of August, August 31st. It's releasing in L.A. and New York, and then they're hoping to then get a wider release after that. And then I also did a cute little voice for Beverly Hills Chihuahua 3, and I think that's coming out on DVD in, like, September or October or something. And that was actually Small World. We did all of the audio in the same booth that I did Monsters, Inc.
Wow.
Yep. Like, 10 years. It was practically 10 years after that. I think it was even 11 years. Yeah, it was kind of cool and kind of weird and kind of made me feel old.
And where can people follow you on Twitter?
I am at K Panabaker.
At K Panabaker?
Panabaker, yeah.
Okay, it used to be Pandabaker, right? Because I watched an interview.
Exactly. Yeah. It used to be Pandabaker, and then somebody was nice enough to figure out how to get my actual name, and it's been a lot easier. But there's been some confusion now, and I feel badly. So, yeah, you can just find me at my name.
Okay, cool. Well, Kay, it's been a pleasure to have you on. You're a spectacular actress, and you have a bright future ahead of you. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks so much. Have a great day, guys.
It's time for the Feedback Forum. Stacy, hit us with those questions.
All right, the first one from Michael Maycolt. He is asking, what is your favorite Rackers card to get signed?
I'm going to go with the baseball one, just because it reminds me of the old Sweet Spot autographs that faded over time, if you will. Like, they actually faded. They're actual baseballs, and they had people sign them, and the pens they used, the cards actually faded. But it reminds me of those cards, and they were so beautiful. The Rackers cards has just the baseball Sweet Spot right there on the card, and they look beautiful signed, so that's definitely my favorite.
Yeah. I would go with...
Okay, Stacy, go ahead.
I suppose. The movie ones.
Okay.
Wow, that was it, Stacy?
Yep. You stole my thunder, so I'll just let you talk.
And speaking of this, I just ordered about 50 Rackers cards yesterday. I did like an assortment, because I think I'm going to start a project and basically send all these Rackers cards out and see how many I could get back. But I do like the football ones and the baseball, like, you said, like Zane said, with the baseball, with the Sweet Spot, there's different Rackers cards for the baseball, and there's like a home plate one, which ain't bad either. But the football one, they look awesome. I got a Herschel Walker back last week, and it just looks awesome on there. So looking forward to sending those out and getting those back.
Ben, Matt, you ever used Rackers cards?
I've never used them, but I've actually seen them. I actually saw them while I was on my trip.
Really?
And I saw the basketball ones, and those look pretty cool. They look like a floorboard, and some people had actual, like, floorboards you buy from Home Depot. I know Stacy's got another couple signed, and they look just less bulky, I guess, but of the floorboard, because I don't really like bulky items. Right. So it looks real small and real nice and crisp.
Cool.
All right. And I haven't actually gotten into it yet, but actually, I think from looking at some of them, besides the wrestling ones, I think the hockey stick one actually looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, those were sold out on Rackers because I was looking at those. But those things look sharp. Really nice.
All right. Next question.
All right. This is coming from AJ Kaiser. He's asking if stamps go up to 50 cents per stamp in the near future. Would that affect how many TTMs you send out?
Nope. Next question. No, because we talked about this, it actually doesn't affect you too much, just the stamps going up a couple cents. The money coming out of your pocket, you're spending a lot more on TTMing than it's like gas. People complain about gas prices going up. When it goes up a couple cents, that's really not affecting you hardly at all. You may pay almost a dollar more at the pump. When you're already paying $45. So, like, the difference isn't quite big enough for it to affect what we do. That's my opinion.
I think for a book, it'd be, what, 10 bucks then instead of, like, 9? Right. So, I mean...
Right. So, if you get a book of stamps, it's a dollar more.
Well, it doesn't really affect much either if you get the forever stamps, too.
Right.
If you get them at the lower price...
But here's...
Think
about this, because I actually had a discussion with the guy that works at the post office about this. He said, right before we changed over, everybody came in and got the forever stamps. He says that everybody came in. I'm like, that's stupid, because the $2 or $3 you spend on gas to get to the freaking USPS is already making that change of the money you would save if you got the forever stamps before the switchover. Because you're only, I think it's $1.50 or something you're saving if you bought the forever stamps before the switchover. And it's like, you're defeating the purpose. If you're purposely driving to the post office, the gas you spend to get there, I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. So when people freak out about price changes on USPS, I'm just saying, as long as their service is still working, I don't have a problem. They could make their service better. I would be extremely happy about that. But prices really don't bother me. So I don't think it bothers anybody else either.
Nope.
It's just those little incremental changes, and it doesn't really affect us. All right, next question.
All right, next one coming from Thomas John Fitzpatrick. He's asking, would you rather get an autograph from your Felicia Day or someone of Stephen King's level?
I would rather get a personal response from somebody that I'm madly in love with than, like, I guess a Stephen King. But if it's just an autograph, I would rather have the Stephen King. So it depends on the response from the person that you're a fan of. Or, like, not a fan of, but really a fan of. So I guess that's the best way to put it, because it's always exciting to get somebody of a Harrison Ford, a Stephen King caliber kind of person. But... you know, if you're really, really, really a big fan of somebody and you get a personal response, it's hard to beat that. So, well, how about you guys? What do you? I know it's not Fleech Day for you guys, but you're
one person. I would say the same thing. I would rather have the success or the personal success from someone that means something to me over than just the huge name.
Like, another example, this is kind of both, but Wozniak, Steve Wozniak, actually wrote me a handwritten little note and signed it Woz. And that's one of my favorite items, just because I'm such a fan of what Wozniak did. To have that little note, it means a lot. Even though it just says, like, thanks for your kind words, Woz. The fact that he took time to write that on his little paper, because my letter was that good, it meant a lot to me. I would rather have that than a Harrison Ford TTM that's just a signature. So.
You lie.
Do you guys feel the same way? I know Stacey.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, okay. I would go with, I already have my Felicia Day and Emma Stone, so I'd go the big time with Stephen King.
Yeah, I'm with Ben. I'm going to go with the Stephen King. I mean, I really don't have, like, a favorite person that I really want to get TTM. I mean, I do, but it's I'd rather get someone of a high caliber and, I think that would mean more to me, just my opinion on that. Matt? So, I don't know. Teach his own, I guess.
Matt?
I'm good.
Okay. next question.
All right, this is coming from Eric Larson. He is asking your rudest TTM answer.
I guess my Red Shandies said, please never write to me again. That's a pretty good one. That's the one that sticks out in my mind. I can't think of anything else worse. So that's not too bad if that's my worst. So
tough love.
Yeah, it's because it's because I wrote to him a specific way because he returned to senders a lot of stuff. So I wrote to him in a way that he couldn't return to sender it, and I think that annoyed him. So I think that's what it was. How about you guys?
I've never got anything back that was rude. I mean, when they send preprints back in auto pens to me, that's rude. So I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it's rude to the hobby. Yeah. I can see that. Not necessarily rude to me because I know what to do with them, but mm-hmm. rude to people. I'm like, oh, God, somebody's gonna get this and think it's gonna be a real autograph. And it's gonna be mixed in with somebody's collection.
And they know someone's actually reading those letters, whether it's that person or their secretary. So they know you're a fan of them,
right.
And you know they know you collect. But they're going to send you something fake, and yeah. I think that's, to me, that's rude and disrespectful, but it is what it is.
Stacey?
As far as mine, I've never had anything overly rude, I would guess. It would just be the response that you probably get back where they sit there and write a note to you explaining why they don't do this and that, and then they either write their first name or they initial it.
They say, I don't sign autographs. Here's my autograph. It's like, okay, that's not very logical.
Actually, it's even better because you wrote a note.
Exactly. Thank you. It's not rude at all.
I got one of those similarly from John Hodgman. It said pretty much, I only sign in-person autographs, but I saw Stacy and Zane get them back.
No, you didn't.
I don't know if Stacy got them.
Yeah, I didn't get them back.
He didn't sign for me. I was like, that's a lie, my friend.
Well, maybe he changed his mind. Maybe now he only sends in person. So,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right. Next question.
Next one. Andrew Dees is asking, who have you sent the most requests to?
Probably Lauren Bacall, just because there's so many things that are possible for her to sign. I just keep running item after item. I'm like, oh, crap, I got to send the Bacall again. Oh, crap, I got to send the Bacall again. Just because she has so many items that pertain to her. So many great pictures of her. It has to be Bacall.
Is she back to signing again? I know she
stopped. Yeah, she's signing again.
Is she? Okay. I know she took a little break there.
Yeah, she did.
For whatever reason. Anyways.
She deserved it.
Yeah. When you sign as many as she does, I guess you deserve it every now and then. I think the most I've got out is probably three. And then that's to numerous people, so that's too many to name, but that's over a span of a year.
Stacey?
It's not going to be Chauncey Lee Party like most of you probably think. It's I'm going to probably say Tom Merritt. Yeah,
yeah, Tom Merritt and Chauncey, poor guys.
Tom's my hookup. So
they got the carpal tunnel because of Stacy. Ben,
I basically agree with Jeremy. Except my number's two. I've only been doing it for a little bit, so.
Matt, you got anybody you've got a lot of autographs from? Just keep asking.
Bozo the Clown back in the late 90s.
Who?
Actually, it's Bozo the Clown.
Oh, really?
One that they were up there on the WGN channel and actually sent like three different times for him.
Do you have three autographs for him?
I have more than that, so.
Dude, I'm going to have to trade for one of those.
I don't even know if I still have any. I have to look to see which ones I do have left, though, that's not personalized. So.
Well, we'll talk about I don't care if they're personalized. Personalizations don't matter to me.
It's made out to my name, and I'm not going to give it up. So,
If you're not going to give up, that would be a problem, but we'll talk about that off the show. All right, Stacy, next question.
Next one is from Tim Johns. He's asking best TTM response and best or memorable IP experience. And that doesn't necessarily have to be in regards to the graph you got.
Right. The best TTM I've got experience I have is from Gregory Walcott, who was in Plan 9 from Outer Space. I've talked about this before, but he was the lead in Plan 9, one of my favorite movies of all time, known for being the worst movie of all time. He wrote a letter talking about Ed Wood, front and back letter, signed at the bottom, signed all my stuff. That's definitely the best TTM experience. Best IP experience, I didn't get his autograph, but I got to meet Coach K. That was pretty legendary. So I just used legendary in the terms of experience. I'm
getting ridiculous. Legendary.
I'm just making you guys take shots and chat. So how about you guys?
As far as my most memorable IP experiences, I mean, I haven't done a lot of it, but I've been to... I went to TNA's Lockdown Fan Fest that was actually in St. Louis, so... I mean, I got to meet several guys there. I actually know Elijah Burke, and he was there, so I got to talk to him a little bit, so that was pretty cool. Other in-person stuff, I do a nationwide race every year that's here. I'm actually going to my second one this next weekend, so I'll be chasing Danica again.
Nice. PTM, is there one that stands out there? You were hoping to ignore that question, weren't you? You're like, I'm just not going to talk about it, and it's just going to go away. But it didn't. All right, we'll come back to you. Sure. How about two other guys?
With this year's stuff, I mean, I've talked about it before. I mean, but I'll just mention Kevin Rose and our IJS team, just because I tried for years and years to get both of those two, and finally got them this year. I mean,
they
beyond
said it
this year,
to the
I'd
autograph, have, not an experience not related to the autograph. So I'm assuming the letter. It's okay. We'll accept your answer, Stacy, and we'll move on to the next person.
Stacy, go back to sleep.
Yeah, you can go back to sleep.
All right.
Just said best TTM response. That could be anything.
Yeah. But he said not related to the autograph, right?
I was just taking that as the IP experience.
Oh, okay. Take it as you want, Jeremy.
IPs. My very first IP convention was at Texas Frightmare, which was in May. I guess one that really stands out is probably Michael Madsen. He was pretty cool to talk to. I think he was drunk the first day that I met him, but just talkative, you know, real interactive, believe it or not, just because of his persona. But him, especially Daniel Harris, real talkative, real friendly. Those are probably two that stood out. Actually, Ernest Borgnine, too, when I met him. He's at the time, well, in 95 he was just joking around, laughing, having a good time, so that stood out, and it's sad that he passed. And best TTM response, I guess getting anything written, a letter, notes, especially from Medal of Honor recipients, just from heroes that, you know, sacrificed their lives for other people and for our country. So I think that's probably the best TTM response that I got.
Ben?
All right, for TTM response, I would go with Chris Novoselic, just because I got a Dave Grohl and Chris Novoselic dual signed, and I've been wanting Dave Grohl for a while, so that was cool that he included that. I know a lot of people get that, but it's just cool just for me. And then most memorable IP, I'm going to give two. These actually both happened to me recently. The first one was that I was waiting at the airport with my graphing friend, who I do a lot of graphing with, so shout out to him if he's listening. We were waiting, and one of the teams actually had the flight split up, and we were waiting for other people, and one of the players pretty much goes up and tells my buddy, like, oh, hey, they're on the other bus if you're waiting for them. So, and that was without him, like, asking, so that was pretty cool. And the other one was the Clippers met Trey Tompkins, and he's on the Clippers, and he actually went to college with Travis Leslie, who's also on the Clippers, and he was signing and goes, Travis, come over here and sign for this guy. So him getting someone else to sign was pretty cool.
Very cool. I thought it was going to be Charles Barkley.
Charles actually wished me a happy birthday, so that was pretty cool.
Cool. All right, next question.
Well, you just started. I mean,
go ahead.
With my best TTM response, I had two different ones. One was Fred Rogers. I actually sent him a nice letter. He sent back a response. He had a secretary type of letter, but he also signed it as well, and thanking me for everything, how he influenced me, and sent me a couple photos. And then later on, about a month or so later, actually, I sent him a thank you letter for that. I also got a signed book from him as well.
Nice.
And then the other one was, for those that don't know a lot of country music, and there's a town in Missouri called Branson, Missouri, and it's like the country music capital now, next to Nashville. And there's a show down there called the Presleys. Not any relation to Elvis or anything, but they I sent them a letter saying they could sign a couple of the trading cards and the photos that I sent them, everything. They not only sent that, they sent back some extra ones as well, and also sent a VHS tape of one of the shows, too.
Nice.
So I thought that was a good one. Most memorable IP experience? None I really want to tell because, you know, Daryl and Kyle can probably rip into me on a lot of stuff, so I won't go there. But recently, my fiance had met Roddy Piper and Mean Gene Okerlund. But the reason this is more memorable is because as soon as she goes up there to get their photo with them, I heard. Now, they weren't serious, they weren't really doing it, but it was like Piper said, "Where was you when I was out dancing?" Basically hitting on my fiance.
Nice.
And then Mean Gene just basically turned and looked at her and said, "You got a boyfriend?" And I'm just losing it. She's turning beet red. Redder than, you know, Santa Claus that was at Walt Disney World. And she was just turning redder and redder. That was just more memorable on that. And I'm never going to let her live that down.
That's great. That was great. All right, Stacy.
All right, the next one is coming from Nathan Overfield. He's asking, what is the most creative way you've sent a request to try and grab attention, and did it work?
The thing that comes to my mind when I hear this question is the people that charge money in RTS half the time. Al Kaline, Shandy's is kind of like this. These guys that usually RTS, but if there's money involved, okay, I'll go ahead and sign for you. So to get them through, sometimes you have to write check enclosed under their name and the address. I've done that before to try to get their attention. I've actually wrote letters in different colors to try to get attention before, but darker colors, don't like make it lime green where it's impossible to read. But I've done that before. Just little stuff like that to try to make my letter stand out so they'll actually sign for me. You guys got any tricks that you've tried over the years?
So the only thing I can think of is just not putting a return address on the envelope going out.
No, my secret is ruined! Why? That's actually why Reg Shandy's wrote that response to me. I didn't put a return address, so he had to open it up. I guess he didn't have to. He could have thrown it away. But, yeah, that's why he was angry. I did that twice. But, yeah, that's the one that's notable. You other guys, you got anything?
Nope.
The same old form letter every time.
I'm not creative enough, so.
Okay.
Wrote a really long letter for Emma Stone. I mean, I guess that stood out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You professed your love.
Pretty much.
Dear Emma. Of course.
I love you.
Celebrities that are busy times. Like that, they tend to look at long letters like, okay, I don't have the time to read this. I'm just going to read the first paragraph and go from there. So that's only for the bigger celebrities, though. But all right, Matt, you got anything, or just move on to the next question?
I'm not creative.
Okay. Next question.
Actually, you know what? Hold on. I do have something creative. I know for Stan Lee and someone, I forget who else it was, there at Dallas Comic Con, which was a few months back, and basically I didn't go, but I made him kind of say, hey, you know, hey, I'm looking forward to seeing you, basically saying, hey, I'm going to get your autograph, I'm going to spend money on you to get your autograph, then, hey, can you sign these photos now?
Right.
So, and I mean, that may have worked, I don't know. But
to make him feel guilty, boss style.
Yeah, and I still have yet to write to him to say, because actually he canceled one day, so I have yet to write back to him and say, hey, this is to Stan Lee. You know, hey, was there the day you weren't? I kind of felt bad. Here, can you sign this stuff?
All right, well, Jeremy's an asshole. All right, next question.
Yeah, all right.
All right, this one's coming from Stephen Merriman, and this is a question for Zane. How do you get your in-desk cards on your wall?
Cheap Dollar Tree scotch tape. Next question.
Alex Joritz is asking, what is the oddest place you have found an autograph at?
I think you skipped a question there.
I'm saying...
Don't worry, I'll take care of that question. Alex Joritz asks, for Stacy, are you still awake? All right, and Alex Joritz asks... Go ahead with the second question, Stacy.
What is the oddest issue I found an autograph at?
Rummages, signed books at Rummages. I've found a few just random autographs at Rummages, Goodwills, stuff like that. Actually, there's a rumor that there is a James Garfield, the president's autograph, circling around somewhere in my family. So I need to track that down and get a hold of that, because that would be awesome to add to my collection. And so that would be a weird one. Just have kind of have the autograph circle around. I think it's a document signed. But yeah, I guess just, you know, rummage some stuff.
I'd say a bathroom stall at the bar, maybe. There's people's names in the stalls.
It doesn't count, I don't think, bro. You guys got anything else other than the rummages and...
No, thrift store, you know, Goodwills, maybe. I mean, that's...
Laser panel! Okay, is that it?
That is it.
All right, guys. We got any questions in the chat room? I don't think we do. All right. If you guys have any questions, feel free to post on our Facebook wall, and we'll put it in the show. If you have a question, you can also send it via email if you don't have Facebook, and we'll put it in the show. This episode of Autograph Weekly is brought to you by StarTiger.com. If you are an autograph collector, you have to be a member of Star Tiger. It's the ultimate place for addresses. They've been doing this for, I think, 12 years, 13 years, something like that. It used to be Star Archive, 14 years. I've been a member for 10, 11 years, and it's just been the best asset. A great database of addresses, great tools to keep track of your successes and pendings, and place to upload all your photos and show off your gallery to other people. It's just the perfect tool for an autograph collector. Go check it out, guys. Go to StarTiger.AutographWeekly.com. If you go to that link and sign up, it'll tell them that we sent you. We greatly appreciate it. Now it's time for Just the Tip, and we're going to answer a question that we've been asked quite a bit, actually, over the past 2 weeks. Since it was recurring, we figured we'd go ahead and make a Just the Tip segment out of it, and that is spotting secretarial autographs. Now, this is not easy to do. This isn't one of those things where you just automatically do it from this segment. You have to do your research. I know that was the name of last week's show, but you do have to do your research. And
damn it, you used my line.
I know. The main thing is become part of communities that find these things out. Star Tiger is a good one. Write a Star forums is another good one. Fanmail.biz, another good one. Be parts of groups, and YouTube's another one. Be parts of groups that actually research these things and try to figure out who is doing secretarial. Look at the evidence that other people show. There's usually one major tell in each secretarial autograph. For instance, Debbie Reynolds, at the end of the S, every in-person I've ever seen, any certified card that was done in-person, the S always goes straight out. Yet all of her TTMs, every single one, and even signatures in upper deck, signature cut cards, they're secretarial because they go down. The signature, the S, has a little like swoop left. So that's how you can tell on her. That's her major tell. On Charlton Heston, and I know some people have in-person autographs that differ. In-person autographs can differ. I mean, no signature is the same every time. But there are certain things you can check, such as Charlton Heston. The R, if it's pronounced, it's probably real. If the R in Charlton looks like an L, it's probably secretarial. There's certain things in each signature, like I said, tells, if you will. And the only way to really know those, I actually made a video showing off all the secretarials that I knew of and showed the evidence to the people and had them decide. Find videos like that, find forum posts like that, and really get into it. Actually, for I think Debbie Reynolds, she signed for years and years and years, and nobody suspected her being secretarial. Dick Van Dyke, the same way. He signed for years and years and years, and only recently as people realized, oh, crap, he's secretarial. So it may take years and years for the community to actually recognize it, but it's getting better and better with the advent of the internet and the free flow of information. It makes it a lot easier to identify these fakes, these secretarials. So all I would say, Star Tiger forums, I think, is the best. There's a lot of guys that work hard to really bring these signatures out in the open and show people, yeah, you don't have this guy's autograph, you have a secretarial. You guys got any ideas on this? I know I'm probably the most versed on this. Secretarials really peeve me off. But you guys got any...
I just get peed off because he's actresses, sports stars, that they try to dupe you to thinking it's their autograph when it's actually not. I mean, that's one thing I guess gets me ticked off. But
well, I've always said there's autograph people and there's not autograph people. The people that do secretarials are not autograph people. They don't understand why autograph collectors collect. In their mind, if you have anything scribbled on a piece of paper, you're going to be happy. But that's not the way the mind of an autograph collector works. We want something authentic. We want something real. It's why we do autographs. It's a connection to a celebrity. It's really cool to have. And when that's not authentic, we care. And they don't understand that. Like I said, they're non-autograph people that usually use secretarials. So, and yes, people are busy. I understand. These people sometimes can't sign for everybody. That's fine. Don't send anything out. I would rather not get anything back than get a secretarial back, because that means I have to burn something. I have to burn the secretarial or fake autograph, because I don't want it getting in somebody's hands that doesn't know what it is. And especially when you get a really good secretary that forges your name really well, that really makes me mad. Why? It just ruins the hobby, in my opinion. There's things that ruin the hobby more, like actual forgers, but secretarials are a close second behind
those. I would rather get one of those notes and say, hey, this person's too busy to sign.
Absolutely, me too. Because then I'm like, okay, I understand that. This person is really busy. And they're probably not going to sign. That's fine. But if you send me a fake autograph, it's kind of a slap in the face. So, anyways, kind of got on a rant about secretarial autographs and how affect us. But defining them, like I said, Star Tiger forums, Ride Star forums, YouTube, fanmail.biz. There's several places you can join where there are discussions about certain people and people posting pictures of evidence. And that's what you need is evidence. And you need to weigh the evidence to decide for yourself whether something's real or secretarial. And usually, if you're wondering if it's secretarial, if there's any doubt in your mind, it usually is. That's what I've ran into. So, all right. That pretty much covers just the tip. Time for the weekly giveaway, everybody's favorite part of the show. Last show, we gave away two 25-packs of Rackers custom cards. And the winner was Alex Joritz. Congratulations, Alex Joritz. You are the winner. Send us your address and we'll get those Rackers cards out to you ASAP. This week, we're giving away, Stacy,
Ryan Klesko signed baseball.
Ryan Klesko signed baseball. So if you guys want to win a Ryan Klesko signed baseball, all you have to do is go to Facebook.com and put the keyword up on our Facebook wall. As simple as that. Type the keyword that was hidden in today's show up on our Facebook wall, and you're automatically entered to win a Ryan Klesko signed baseball. There were a few deaths this week. We had Sally Ride pass away, who was American hero, obviously. Sherman Hemsley passed away. Neil Reed and Ed Stevens. So if you guys have any autographs from these people, please post those autographs on our Facebook wall as kind of a tribute to them. Also, guys, check out autographweekly.com. That's where everything comes together. We got the polls, we got the news, we got the Fantasy League. Everything is there in one place for you, autographweekly.com. Also, check out writeastar.com. That's my private address list. Ton of people have signed up. Thank you so much. It's going great. Great community going in the forums, especially. And some getting some great returns, guys. So go check that out, writeastar.com. Identify your autographs on Facebook. That's my little Facebook page that I created to help you guys figure out who your unknown autographs are. We'll try to identify those for you. And
if you guys want to check out everything that I'm up to, just simply go to StacyShafer.com. I'm on the new Squarespace 6 platform, so the site looks much cleaner, much easier to navigate. So make sure you guys check that out. What about you, Jeremy?
All right, check out TheAutographBoss.com. Basically, check for the daily Autograph Weekly Fantasy Points. I try to update them. I try daily, but it might be 2 days as the farthest I'll go out, but usually it's daily updates. I did create a new section called the Daily Rewind. Kind of got this idea from Stacy Schaefer about grabbing one piece out of my collection and have that as a spotlight for the day. So you can check that out, and that's about it. What about you, Ben?
I got just like Zane said earlier in the podcast, just a recap of what I did, pretty much the full recap on my website, which is bmartsautographs.weebly.com. There's no apostrophe after T and the S in Bmart. And that's all I really got. I got to update the site with some things I plan on doing and get sorted. But it's up there for you, everyone to see.
Matt?
And what about you, Matt?
And, well, you can find me basically online at twitter.com /TheManiac. My autograph page is actually on Facebook at facebook.com/AsylumAutographs, all one word. Or you can also find my official fan page on Facebook at the facebook.com/TheManiac official fan page.
Also, guys, check us out on Twitter at twitter.com/AutographWeekly, and, of course, facebook.com/AutographWeekly. And for the love of God, go to iTunes and please look for Autograph Weekly. Subscribe, rate, and comment. It boosts our ratings. Blah, blah, blah. You hear me talk about it every week. All right, guys, I'm Zane Savage.
And I'm Stacia Schaefer, and I'm too legit to quit.
You take care, all of you autograph addicts.
Thank you for listening to Autograph Weekly. Visit autographweekly.com for news, tips, and contact information.